Welcome to Quimper UU Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this recording from our November 24th service. Our guest speaker is Joseph Bendarek. His sermon title is Table Grace, Moments of Silence, Moments of Loud. Thanks for listening.
It is from the poet and environmental activist Wendell Berry, from his cranky poem Prayers and Sayings of the Mad Farmer. Please note that we will be saying the final line together. And these are good words to think about as we prepare our minds and bodies for the feast. Sowing the seed, my hand is one with the earth.
One is the seed to grow, my mind is one with the light.
Having cared for the plants, my mind is one with the air.
Hungry and trusting, my mind is one with the earth.
Eating the fruit, my body is one with the earth.
The reading this morning continues the through line that we started with the responsive reading. These are the words of poet Wendell Berry. The title of the poem is Prayer After Eating. I have taken in the light that quickened eye and leaf. May my brain be bright with praise of what I eat in the brief blaze of motion and of thought. May I be worthy of my meat. Well, welcome to the first Sunday of the holiday season. Now's the time to take that deep cleansing breath here at the top of the Luge Chute, because in the next 6 weeks, we will encounter in one form or another Thanksgiving, winter solstice, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, for early shoppers, Black Friday, for philanthropists, Giving Tuesday, and for the Canadians in our midst, Boxing Day. Makes sense that Thanksgiving launches this winter holiday marathon because we have to carbo load just to get through it. Now, we all have some sense of Thanksgiving's origins and the maturation of the holiday in the American colonies, and please worry not. This sermon will not develop nor devolve into a History Channel special on the pilgrims and their learning curves with farming and hunting and harsh winters and or Native Americans, whom the pilgrims generously termed savages. Rather, we this morning are going to broaden our sense of Thanksgiving with this simple reminder. Some form of thanksgiving has been with us since the first inklings of a power greater than ourselves, and likely a prayer of thanksgiving was one of the first two human prayers that went something like this. Oh, thank you, 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 thank you. And the other original prayer likely being, please. So without any historical research, by simply trusting our gut, no pun intended, we can intuit that thanksgiving, broadly speaking, is approximately as old as forever, at least as old as the Thanksgiving Psalms that were discovered among the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, Thanksgiving, by a long shot, is my favorite holiday. Broadly speaking, our modern notion of Thanksgiving celebrates several core elements of human life, what I like to call the four F's that social animals hold dear: family, friends, food, and fellowship. Now, I also like the fact that it is not a gifting holiday, and all those obligations and anxieties and expenses of finding presents for family and friends, they're kept at bay for at least one more day. The present, or the gift that is most valued, is the gift of your presence, your being there at the table. And true presence, sustained presence, is becoming ever rarer and more precious in the modern world. And best of all, Thanksgiving is a time to give thanks, good, genuine, sincere, deeply felt, authentic thanks. And I wonder aloud if we're any good at that anymore. And so this is what we're going to be doing this morning. We're going to be preparing ourselves to become present throughout the coming week and on our many varied journeys to the feast, and once in the kitchen and at the table, to become an advocate for giving thanks, to become the model of presence, to frame the time in a modern world that can so easily obliterate attention and erode a sense of togetherness. For example, I am exceedingly thankful to be in this place called Sanctuary, where we get to co-create sanctuary, where we share words and songs and silence and ideas. We share bright windows and candlelight. Inside this sanctuary, we have, through our intention and practice, created sacred space and arrived at a place in our head and in our heart where we are prepared to be here, to laugh and to sing together. And if anybody else feels like dancing in the aisles, by all means, you go nuts. I love it. So please bring some of this morning's presence to your Thanksgiving feast. Now, several years ago, a friend of mine who was gutsing it through a particularly difficult time in his professional life decided to open up his home and throw a huge Thanksgiving feast for his family, his friends, and his professional colleagues. My family was invited, so we went. It was a large affair, and everybody brought something for the table, so there was this overflow of abundance: two turkeys, salads, potatoes, gravy, cranberry relish, wine, pies, whipped cream, and even special Thanksgiving margaritas. I think I will have another one, thank you. They were delicious. There was enough food and drink for everyone, and then enough extra for everyone to take leftovers home, because there is nothing like that Friday afternoon turkey sandwich. Now, there were beautifully set tables all throughout the first floor of the house with linens and candles and nice china. I was pleased and excited to be there, to meet new people, to taste new foods and unique treatments on old favorites. And yet for me, there was a critical detail that was missing. It fell through the cracks. Nobody said grace. Nobody stood up to thank the hosts. Nobody clinked that glass to quiet the room and to bring our various attentions to focus on the singular reason why we were there in the first place: to give thanks. Now, that missed moment, that lack of communal thanks, it was very memorable for me. Now, regardless of that detail, the dinner was a roaring success. My friend had such a good time that he and his family hosted the feast again the next year. My family and I again were invited, and I secretly decided that if nobody said grace, then I would. And sure enough, the situation came to pass. Turkey carved, line of diners weaved past the many dishes and specialties. People found their tables and began eating and talking and laughing together. And now, to be fair, this was a group of about 30 people, most of whom did not know each other well. Our only relation was that we were connected through our hosts. We had no common rituals. We had no common behaviors, expectations, or understandings specific to this particular group. I sat down with my plate. I looked around, and I realized that it was now or never. So I took my fork. The friendly roar of conversation became quiet, and I rose. Now, what happened next was straight out of Politeness 101. We raised a glass to our host and hostess. Thank you for inviting us into your home and for taking the time to transform it into a place where we all can gather amidst this tremendous abundance. Everyone raised their glass and toasted. And best of all, I could feel that there was this sense of gratitude that we were doing something to honor the intent of the day, and that we were doing it together. And with people's attention, I asked them to look around the room at those present in candlelight. With people ranging in age from 2 to 82, we looked at our bright, shining faces. There is nothing like a human face right before a feast. Human beings at a harvest feast, one of the most beautiful things you will ever see on planet Earth. Take some time to look at them. And finally, I said, there's something or someone for which you are thankful. Please bring those people, those things to your mind and to your heart, and to celebrate that presence in your life. Then we raised another toast to the meal, and we dove in. And I will say this, the quality of the sound of conversation in that room had a depth and a richness that did not exist before the thanks. Now, if a room can sound buoyant, that room sounded buoyant. Now, often, all we need is permission to get quiet and to pay attention. What we created was permission to be present, permission to be grateful, permission to do what we all wanted to do, to be together in Thanksgiving, though we hadn't quite arrived at Thanksgiving until those key 90 seconds. Now, truth be told, I would have loved to have done more, to create another kind of ritual to dig deep into thanks and gratitude, but I will take what I can get where I can get it. And what was very gratifying is that throughout the rest of the evening, people came up to me and thanked me for the thanks. And the downside is that I'm now sort of the designated Thanksgiving wine glass tinker, time to pause guy. And that too is a risk, right? Because it becomes routine, becomes the mumbled obligatory prayer at dinner while the food gets cold. My boyhood Grace, for example, said at every meal, O Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let thy gifts to us be blessed. Amen. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Amen. When my brother and I were rebellious teenagers, we wondered about that rhyme scheme between good and food. So we started saying good and food, but just quiet enough so my mom would never hear. And 30 years later, whenever we are together at home, we always do the good food rhyme. Something that will never, ever die. And even so, even that mumbled prayer is beautiful. Because I need grace before every meal, as much as I need water with the meal. I just returned from a business trip, and every time I was at a restaurant, in front of every Reuben sandwich and in front of every plate of pasta, simple, quiet, private. And I've also noticed that people catch me out the corner of their eye and kind of give me a look, which I actually love. Now, one of the greatest gifts that I ever received was to say grace with young children. Grandma and grandpa, take note. This is something meaningful for children. When my twin daughters were very young, a friend visited, actually their godfather visited, and before the meal together, he taught us how to make grace fun, how to sing it, and then spread blessings with hand gestures with joy. So for years, as our kids grew up, daily grace looked like this. Our family would hold hands. We would sing a modified version of the Johnny Appleseed song. We would say something that we were thankful for. Then we would let go of our hands, and we would bless each person around the table. Blessings, 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 blessings. We would bless ourselves, blessings. And then we would bless the wider world, blessings. Now, modified version of Johnny Appleseed, the first two lines of the original go like this. Oh, the Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord. And as devout UUs, we have issues with the word Lord. So we created a more UU-approved, enviro, non-singular, feminist version that went something like this. Oh, the earth is good to us, and so we thank the earth. Earth for Lord, us for we, me for I. And I know that you caught it. You're asking yourself, well, what about the feminist part that you mentioned? Now, this was a gift from an auntie who lived in California in a yurt near the ocean. What is the deal with amen? I am not a man. So she began to say a gender-neutral, all-inclusive, ah, people at the end of grace, and we picked it up as a good idea. Oh, the earth is good to us, and so we thank the earth for giving us the things we need, the sun and the rain and the apple seeds. The earth is good to us, ah, people. While still holding hands, we went around the table. We gave voice to something we were thankful for. I'm thankful for the rain. I'm thankful for pizza. I'm thankful for the color blue. One day when my daughter was about 4, she said, I'm thankful for opportunity. Now, for some reason, a 4-year-old being thankful for opportunity just cracked us all up. And it remains a private joke to this day. We will still bust out, I'm thankful for opportunity. It's beautiful. When we were several years into this style of grace, I said that I was thankful for my uvula. And both my daughters said simultaneously, you've said that before. Apparently, I am very thankful for my uvula. And before you reach for your iPhone to confirm what a uvula is, it's that dangly thing in the back of your throat, for which you should be very thankful. And so then after everyone gave voice to something or allowed the silence to speak for them, we let go of our hands, and to everyone around the table, we bestowed blessings. Blessings, 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 blessings. And now's the time that you can practice that. I encourage everyone, right now, for example, blessings. Now, I don't see everyone doing it. Blessings, 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 blessings. Those wacky you-you's, my God. So when friends would visit, we would teach them the routine, and I'm happy to say that it caught on in more than one family. Very, very simple, fun. And this particular grace lasted in my family till my kids were about 11 or 12, when they started to feel that it was a little bit too baby for them. So we had a family meeting, we dropped the song, and we replaced it with a moment of silence. And speaking of silence, here is a major twist on the theme. We would occasionally celebrate a moment of loud. There is something very contrarian and very fun about a moment of loud. I am going to explain how to do it, and then we are actually going to try it here in the sanctuary so you can feel how tremendous this form of prayer is. During the first service, Kate left because she's sick. She was in her office. She did not know. She did not hear that warning. When the moment of loud came in the first service, she shot out of her chair and ran to help us all. She was so delighted to hear that we were just praying. So here's the deal. This is how you do the moment of loud. I'm going to be the conductor. I'm going to count to 3. On the count of three, at three, you just make a noise that is loud as possible that you can make. And then I'm going to let that hang in the air for a while, and then I'm going to go like this. And when I do that, you just stop. Whatever you're doing, whatever sound you're making, just stop. For those of you who do not like loud noises, you are absolutely welcome to plug your ears at this point. You're absolutely welcome to sit there in silence. And you're absolutely welcome to wonder, what brought me here today? So, we're going to give it a try. Kate is 3 miles away. If she jumps up out of her bed and starts running to the church, that's her deal. All right. Loud noise, people. If you don't like it, plug your ears. Count of three, we're going to make a loud noise. One, two, three. Who was it back there who doesn't understand? Stop at this. One more time. Count of three. When I go like this, you stop. All right? Whoever it was. One, two, three. See what can happen when you go the other way? Moment of silence. I got something for your moment of silence. Now, when great-grandma Luella was still alive, great-grandma Luella was about this tall, we did a moment of loud after table grace at Thanksgiving where everybody said something they were thankful for. Now, great-grandma Luella, she was the daughter of a Methodist minister. She married a Methodist minister. She was essentially the sergeant at arms at Methodist summer camp. She was Methodist to the Methodist to the Methodist hardcore. When she gave thanks at that Thanksgiving dinner, it was traditional. And yet we were all deeply aware that this was one of her last Thanksgivings. She, of course, gave thanks for being at the table with family, with beautiful food. She represented she was the eldest of four generations of incredibly strong women and young girls around that table. And after the blessings were done, we explained to Luella the moment of loud, so she knew what was coming. And boy, can our family make noise. One of the young girls was the conductor, and after the moment of loud, Luella's face just brightened in this smile of delight. "I've never done that before," she exclaimed. "So you actually can teach an old Methodist new prayer tricks." And now comes your great invitation. This Thanksgiving, make certain that your feast becomes an occasion where grace becomes alive and palpable in a world that needs grace. Whether you are at a table with 30 or at a table with one of one at a restaurant, a table holding food prepared for holiday, it is like a museum of smells and tastes and textures. Consider the human effort, the wit, and the work, the skill it took to get this food to this table prepared in this way. Now, everything that you need to live a good, fulfilling life is inextricably connected to the elements of this Thanksgiving feast. It is Exhibit A in the interconnected web of all existence. It is the high art of the four F's: family, friends, food, and fellowship. Now, another blessing song that came to our family came from a member of this congregation, Paul Becker. We invited their family over for dinner, and he taught us this song. This is a song that their family sang.
Thank you for this glorious, glorious food. And the animals, and the vegetables, and the people who make it possible.
And so whether you sing, or whether you're silent, whether you hold hands, bow your heads, please take some time to create the space into which human attention can focus on thanks and gratitude. As Grandpa Ron says, Grandpa Ron, who is an actual practicing druid, praise his grace. Thank you, God, for happy hearts, for rain and sunny weather. Thank you, God, for this, our food, and that we are together. So there you are in a couple of days at table. Food is steaming. The momentum in the room might be to dive in and start chewing like we usually do, but this is not a usual day. This is Thanksgiving. Take your fork. Take a glass. Tap it. Think of the chime that calls us to worship. The room will become quiet. Smile. Breathe. Stand so all can see you. Start with the phrase, "Let us all give thanks," and see where the spirit of gratitude leads. Ah, people.